For the past 2 years, I've been secretly recording my boyfriend.
What a donkey, Oliver.
Now, after 100 episodes, he's found out.
I secretly recorded my boyfriend. Now it's a podcast. Me.
Hear this whole saga come to a climax from Wednesday, 26th of August.
So how long has this been going on for?
Search I Secretly Recorded My Boyfriend wherever you get your podcasts.
I've never even heard of a bleeding podcast, Joma.
My name is Andy, and this is the most magical podcast on Earth. When I'm not on holiday at Walt Disney World, I'm planning a holiday to Disney. And when I'm not planning a holiday to Disney, I'm talking about Disney with other UK fans like me who make the trip to Orlando and the House of the Mouse. So if you too are daft for Donald, then this is the podcast for you. Or maybe you're the Disney novice, just maybe thinking about your first ever trip to Walt Disney World, and your knowledge of Ariel is either something you wash your knickers with or something you need to pick up BBC Two. Well, then this really is the podcast for you. Every week, I'll be chatting to other Disney superfans from around the UK to share their memories of their magical times. And this week, we find out what happened to James on a bridge in Disney Springs.
You know, I didn't wait around until there was barely anyone there. It just so happened that the bridge wasn't that busy at the time.
Also going to be answering your Walt Disney World questions, getting the latest news from the parks, and everything you need to know to have the most magical time. Make sure you keep in touch with us as well. We are on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We are at PodMagical. This is the most magical podcast on Earth as part of the Secret Recordings Network. Every week on the podcast, I do my best to answer your Walt Disney World questions. It can be something to do with planning or just a general opinion. It's entirely up to you. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Pod Magical, like Duncan has done. This is just a quick one. Andy, been to Walt Disney World twice, never had a Dole Whip. What's all the fuss? Duncan, whenever you can, whenever that is possible, go back to Walt Disney World. And the first thing you must do is have Dole Whip. If you've never had Dole Whip, the best way to describe it, it's a cross between a sorbet and an ice cream. It's got the creaminess of an ice cream and it's got the sharpness of, well, it's pineapple. It's pineapple with ice cream. I think the thing is, because it's so hot over in Florida, I just think it hits the right spot without making, you know, sometimes you have something that's a bit sour and it makes your eye do that when your eye goes like that. Well, it's not like that, but it's got like creaminess. It's just brilliant. I think you can also get it at Chester Zoo, as we mentioned as well before. And hello to Sam. Just looking at probably going to Walt Disney World 2022 now, Andy. We'd like to go for a couple of weeks, but we'd like to go to a resort where we can just spend time chilling out on the balcony, having a bottle of wine, maybe reading a book. Any suggestions where on Walt Disney World property would be the best to look at? I'm saying if you want to just chill out and look at stuff, I'm thinking Animal Kingdom, if your budget pushes you that far, I'd say that would be the place to go. In terms of rooms with balcony, obviously you'd have to get a savanna view to make sure you can see the animals. But yeah, you can just sit there and watch them. It's nice to wake up in the morning, maybe get a coffee, see what the animals are doing. So if your budget stretches that far, have a look at Animal Kingdom Lodge. And if you've got any questions when it comes to planning, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram is where we are. Pod Magical. And also, if you'd love to be a guest on the podcast, now you might have been listening to this podcast for over a year now since we started, and you might have loads of memories that you'd like to contribute. It's been a bit difficult, I'm not going to lie, over the last few months because nobody has been to Walt Disney World. So I don't think anybody's up for coming on the podcast and having a bit of a chat. So we are looking for guests constantly. If you'd love to come on and chat about your Disney memories and about your favourite things, it doesn't matter when was the last time you went. You might have not been for years. Still, come on. You've got great memories I'd love to hear about. Just send me a message, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Pod Magical. And that is what James did, and he's this week's guest. So tell us, James, why do you love Walt Disney World?
Because it's Disney. That's what
the
it
obvious
is.
Answer.
You know, that is why I love it. And if it wasn't Disney, then you wouldn't go, would you? Because it is. It is Disney, you know. First and foremost, you fall in love with Disney films, don't you, before you fall in love with anything else?
Because some people are different. Some people fall in love with Disney parks, and that then kind of gets them in the film. Some people grow up on Disney films like Lion King and go, I've got to go to the Mecca. So what was it for you? Was it the films first?
Yeah, I just don't think... Being from England, I was not sure you would ever possibly go if you weren't a fan of Disney films. You know, if you lived in America, it's slightly different because you can go, can't you? But...
yeah.
To go to Disney, I think you've got to be a Disney fan. You know, if you live in a different country, you've got to be a fan of the films first to even, you know, actually end up going to either California or Florida.
Yeah, especially now.
Yeah, well, yeah.
We're desperate to go. So when was the first time you went? What was your memories of the first time you went, and when was that?
The first time I went was 2016, but my missus who sat with us, first time she went was...
1999.
Right, so she's got 20 years worth of holidays in the bag.
20 years worth of holidays in the bag, yeah.
So was she the one that got you into it then?
Yeah, I was always a huge Disney film fan as a kid, and also... And obviously, I think not many blokes are openly into Disney, are they, you know, as such.
Yeah.
But I was never afraid of loving animation and all variety of stuff like that. So, you know, my love for Disney films was never hidden. I wasn't from a family that could afford to go to Florida, even Paris, yeah. You know, I never got the chance. So I never actually, to be fair, until I got with the missus, I never actually realised just how big Walt Disney World was in terms of being a Disney fan, you know.
Yeah, it is always surprising that first time as well.
Yeah, I wasn't fully understanding of what actually Walt Disney World was and meant. You know, I just loved the films, and then obviously I got with the missus, and she was like, oh, we're going to Florida, and obviously I was like, well, I'd love to go, and obviously I've always wanted to visit, but I never really understood the level of it, like, and obviously got to where she'd been, so I'd have never been... If I'm being honest, I don't think if I'd have not got with the
you would
misses.
Never have been. Well, it was meant to be, James.
It was certainly.
That first time you went, was there that bit of apprehension where she's going, oh, it's great, and you're thinking, is it going to be that great? Because this is a lot of money, and if you know, if she loves it and I hate it, it's a big risk. It could even end your marriage.
Yeah, that was it. Obviously, when we didn't, like, to be fair, they'd already booked it before we got together, and her mum and dad. Because her mum and dad used to have a timeshare in the Westgate Resorts, that's near the big Wizard gift shop. They'd already booked the flights, and obviously they already had a room, and they were like, oh, well, if you want a flight now, we'll buy your flight and just pay it back over the next couple of months.
Oh, wow.
To be fair, my first trip only cost me 750 quid in flights, and that was it.
And you had to pay it back whenever you felt like paying it back.
Yeah, so obviously I paid it back over the first few months just to make a good impression straight away, you know. Didn't want to be dragging it out, but, like... Obviously, then I got, and she was like, you know, obviously explaining it all to me, obviously just, you know, just the scale of the place and honestly and what's there. Like I said, I was a little nervous at first, just because you're never too sure, are you? You know, until you've been, you really don't understand how good it is, but also the scale of it and how much there is to do.
Especially with the first time, had you watched any vlogs or other people's videos?
At this point,
stuff?
I'd seen the castle, and that is it. I'd never watched a YouTube video. I'd never watched, because a lot of the time the missus used to watch the old like travel packages, you know, that used to be on the start of the videos.
Yeah,
and obviously
they used to send you out the DVD, didn't they? Like years ago,
so you'd have like the Walt Disney World 2012 package video, you know, and obviously it'd be a 30-minute clip as you've seen on. You know, and obviously booking your break and it running you through all the resorts and the parks and everything. So I'd seen bits of that, you know, just on advertisements, but I'd never watched, you know, a walkthrough or anything. So I'd literally never seen anything except for images of the castle.
And that is the best way to be for the first time.
I made a point of not finding anything out about what was there.
Yeah.
So I wanted to see it first.
I still do that now with new attractions like Runaway Train that I was hoping to have been on by now, but I've still not seen any videos of it.
With the Star Wars ride there, you know, we won't watch any of the videos of anything people putting up, just because, you know, we want to see it. Same as when Toy Story World went, when we went second time round, it was just open and we'd not watched the Slinky Dog ride or anything. You know, we just went and saw it first before seeing anything.
That is the best way to do it. So how many times have you been?
I've only been there twice, but
right,
because she's been 20 times, it feels like I've been 20 times.
So what's your favourite memory? You can only have one standout memory from the times that you've been.
Well, I'll have to have an honourable mention because I'll get beaten up if not. I proposed in Disney Springs on one of the little bridges by the river, so that's the honourable mention.
But that's not your actual favourite.
The actual favourite was meeting Woody. I'm pretty composed usually, and I went to pot. I called him Mr. Woody and all sorts. I didn't know what to do. I was panicking. He signed me out. I was really nervous.
So were you more nervous meeting Woody than you were proposing?
Oh, I mean 300 times more nervous meeting Woody. For the proposal, I knew it was happening, you know. She was asking me to propose, you know, that was done. I decided to find the right place to do it. Meeting Woody was a was a different ball game.
Maybe you've married the wrong person. Maybe you should have married Woody.
Well, yeah. Well, Eeyore proposed to my missus, so I think maybe we were meant to be with characters instead, actually.
Did he?
So.
You've got to watch some of these characters when it comes to proposing. The number of times Daisy Ducks tried to, like, ask me to marry her, and I'm like, Daisy, no. I can't come between you and Donald.
Yeah.
So let's talk more about your proposal, then. Whereabouts in Disney Springs, and tell me about the setup. Did you have a meal planned, or what was it? Was the beginning of the holiday, the end of the holiday?
From the first time we went, Disney Springs had not long reopened again from being downtown Disney.
Yeah.
So obviously the settings and setup was fairly different. So that's one of our main first night. So you get there four or 5 o'clock, don't you, in the afternoon. We take the morning flight from Manchester.
Yeah.
Just have a McDonald's and relax second day, because we always stay in a villa, go Walmart, get a few bits in, you know, for the villa. And at night time, go to Disney Springs, you know, when it's dark, you know, have a few drinks and the rest of it. So when we'd been the first time around, obviously we walked across the bridge, and obviously the lake that flows through it now, you know, it's got the lanterns and the lights in it, so it's a beautiful colour.
Yeah, it's
lovely. The actual lake itself is in the bridge, and obviously the first year we went, we walked across, and obviously we're both walking across, and you just get the sense, don't you, when someone's just in love with something.
Yeah,
and that's how she was. You know, we just stood on the side, we got into one of the little little dock type things, and you know, just looking across the lake and the rest of it, and it clicked. Then it was like, well, if I'm ever going to propose, this
it's going to be there.
This'll have to be the place. So obviously straight away, then I was like, right, this is where I'll propose next time we come. So next time we come up, obviously, and I'd already spoke to Mum, but I didn't actually officially ask her dad until we were in the airport.
Right.
So, you know, obviously I wanted to do it all, but even though he knew I was going to propose, you know, I wanted to do the official, you know, can I please ask your daughter to marry me, just to be safe.
Yeah.
The worst part about the proposal was I was wearing a T-shirt and shorts. He's trying to hide the ring. That's the hardest part.
Yeah, where'd you put it?
You know where to put it when you're going.
And how'd you get it through security on the flight and everything like that?
I had to make sure the missus was stood three or four back. I already spoke to her mum. And I put my bags through first, and I'd said to the security guard, I was like, there's an engagement ring in there, so if anything beeps up, just take me to one side, please, instead of doing it in the front.
Yeah.
So I'd already had to, like, obviously just pre-warn them that something could be in there. When we walked in there that night, obviously we always walk that way around, go around the back of Raglan Road and across the bridge, and obviously we just stopped and had a little look, as we do. And I was just talking to, you know, just kept it quite natural, and then just dropped down to one knee, she turned around, and obviously I had the ring, and that was it. It was floods of tears, so it went well.
Both of you in floods of tears?
And to be fair, no, I was very, very pleased.
Yeah.
But I had to keep it composed.
Did you get people applauding you? Was there a bit of a scene?
Yeah, to be fair, I managed to actually catch it in quite a good spot where there wasn't so many people walking across. It just kind of fell that way. I didn't actually plan, you know, I didn't wait around until there was barely anyone there. It just so happened that the bridge wasn't that busy at the time, but a few people did see, and you know, I could hear people shouting congratulations across, and there was a bit of applause.
Because the thing is, well, somebody, like, when they propose, some people want the scene, and some people like want to do it really quiet, because a lot of people might do it in front of the castle. Whereas I proposed in Disneyland in California, but I did it by the Wishing Well, Snow White's Wishing Well, when there was nobody there, and then we'll have the pictures after in front of the castle.
Yeah, of
course. So did you also, after proposing, get a load of free stuff for like the rest of the holiday?
We actually got, because we were eating in Be Our Guest that this time around. And obviously we weren't too sure what the procedure was, and we just said, oh, you know, we got engaged, you know, what, 5-6 days ago, whatever it was, and and they gave us some free grey stuff as dessert, which was nice, and I think it comes out in little Mickey Mouse shapes, and obviously they said it's on the house for the engagement. And to be fair, obviously just telling people at the obviously when you first get to Magic Kingdom, obviously getting the badge for just being engaged, you get a few perks here and there, and if people see you've just done it, you know, they let you in the fast pass entrance on a couple of rides.
Yeah, that's it. That's why you should always get the badge.
Yeah.
Get the celebration badge, whatever it's called. We'll chat some more in a little bit. James, let's get a news update first of all. Just a quick update on a few things that have been going on at Walt Disney World over the last few weeks since our last news update, including shorter hours. Obviously, there's a lot less people going to Walt Disney World at the minute. Tell me about it. I should be there like in a few weeks' time, not going. But yeah, the hours have really come down, and because there's no nighttime fireworks or nighttime experiences, a lot of people are kind of like going like 10, 11 in the morning, and they've kind of like done the parks by 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So for example, Magic Kingdom's hours now, typically from September, are going to be 9 a.m. till 6 p.m. Animal Kingdom 9 a.m. till 5 p.m. Hollywood Studios 10 till 7, Epcot 11 till 7. So very low hours, but very low queues at the minute, and people are saying, oh, they're going in like the longest they're going to wait for even things like Flight of Passage is half an hour. So very shorter opening hours at the moment over at Walt Disney World. Also, no Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party this year. We know that the Halloween parties have been cancelled for this year. In fact, the first Halloween parties should have already happened. They should have started last week. Can you believe that? Middle of August. Even though there's no Halloween parties, you can still buy Halloween merchandise. The park's Halloween merchandise is up for sale. There's loads of new spirit jerseys, and there's even Haunted Mansion Crocs. You heard that right. Haunted Mansion Crocs. Just because it's Disney, does it make it cool? I'll leave that one with you. Also, you might have seen the new Epcot entrance is starting to take shape. It's near completion now. The brand new fountain with all those pylons that have been built, those glass pylons, they've gone back to the classic geometric features for that. It looks beautiful. There's pictures of that over on our socials. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, PodMagical is where we are for that. And also, check out some videos of lightning that's been hitting Walt Disney World this week. You thought we've had bad weather over here in the UK. Check out the weather in Orlando. Lightning has been hitting Tower of Terror. It's also hit Rise of the Resistance, which closed it for a day. And also, if you watch some of Tim Tracker's vlogs over on YouTube, Tim Tracker's got a brilliant video he did a couple of weeks ago where he was filming Cinderella Tower at Magic Kingdom when it was hit by lightning. An incredible video. I'll share that over on our socials, and we'll keep you updated with all the news over on there as well. Make sure you give us a like and a follow. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, PodMagical is where we are. Same place to go if you fancy being a podcast guest one week, like this week's guest, James, who got engaged over at Disney Springs. So let's talk about some of your favourite places to eat over at Walt Disney World. Are most of your favourite places over at Disney Springs, would you say?
Our favourite restaurants would be our non-Disney-based restaurants in Orlando. You know, if we're eating out, we'll eat on, we'll eat at Disney Springs, but our favourite restaurants in Orlando are just ones that are near International Drive. But Disney Springs at night, now that is our favourite place as a whole, I would say. Just the environment and the place. World of Disney shop as well. You could spend days and days in the World of Disney store.
And pounds and dollars.
Yeah, and pounds and dollars and cards that you're not meant to use and all the rest of it. But going through Disney Springs at night, you know, from obviously the Lego store, World of Disney, even the obviously just the upper class normal shops that are there, you know, the jewellery stores and some of the higher end.
It is a place where a lot of people miss out on, which I think is a shame if you don't go to Disney Springs, especially at night, because if you think, oh, nighttime, there's Fantasmic and there's the fireworks of the castle and stuff like that, and Epcot. So you kind of like, you miss out on at least having one night at Disney Springs, but they've got like the live music and it's really nice and you can just walk out.
We'll go into Ghirardelli's and get an ice cream, and obviously it's right across from where they have the singers performing and the rest of it, and you obviously just take your time there and just relax. And I would say Disney Springs at night is definitely something that people should do, and especially if you're there just as a couple, you can't really get many better settings as a vibe as a whole place.
So I'm guessing you've got no kids.
We've now got a 4-month-old, but at the time we were just couples, just me and the missus and her mum and dad. So if we could go separate or go together, you know, but it was just, you know, obviously we were there as adults only.
And what about places to stay? You said you had a villa. Do you prefer to stay off-site and then drive in?
We're definitely a villa, as much as obviously we love going to the 4 Walt Disney World parks, plus, you know, and the golf and the water parks. We do love, you know, the holiday in Orlando as a whole. So we will stay in a villa with a car. That's our main setup, is a villa and a car ourselves.
Yeah.
Stay in a villa on Highgate Park. It's in Davenport. Not even a 30-minute drive to the parks, you know, less than that, really.
Yeah.
We're going again next September. That's booked in. And we've got the exact same villa booked.
Yeah, and you know what you're doing then. You know how to get around and what
you're
getting.
Yeah, if that villa wasn't available, we would have looked at staying in another villa before any of the Disney hotels. I think we just like the freedom of having, you know, just being off-site and having your own car and the rest of it, as opposed to relying on the Disney transport and other bits. Because like I said, as much as you love going to Disney, we're also out in Orlando for a reason as well, you know, to explore other things.
Yeah. What else do you like doing in Orlando?
Universal is one, you know, the other parks. Halloween Horror Nights is a big one for us. We always try to go September to October and get the full experience of the Halloween Horror Nights in.
But so is that what you're going to do next year?
Yeah, well, that's what we'll definitely be looking
for. Fingers crossed.
Because we're going with Mrs. Mum and Dad again.
I was going to say, who's going to babysit a one-year-old?
Yeah, we've already cleared off having the having a baby-free night for one night, so we can get down to Universal to have a night at the Horror Nights again.
So when you go to Horror Nights, how do you plan that? Do you just get the regular admission ticket? Or because there's different types of tickets, you can do like an RIP tour, which is like fast tracks you literally through every maze. Which one do you do?
Just get the regular. What we try and do is we go Universal slightly later that day, so we'll actually go to Universal and and actually go around the park itself, some of the rides and the rest of it during the day, say 2 o'clock, and have a wander around the parks. So we're inside ready, because the queues for getting in Halloween Horror Nights, you know, if you're just coming for the night itself, could be a nightmare getting in.
Yeah.
So if you're already in the park, you're already one step ahead, really. But with the Horror Nights, obviously we'll get there, we'll have a few drinks, and we just try and tend to see, you know, where it takes us. Like last time we went, we really wanted to do the Stranger Things maze. So we went to that immediately, you know, before the queues got astronomical for it.
Yeah.
So obviously we followed that, and then after that, we kind of just wandered and were just, you know, finding which mazes were where. Because what I'd done, I didn't want to know which mazes were there this time around, whereas the missus did.
So she's a planner.
She was looking up, you know, and see what was open. And I was like, no, I don't want to see. I just want to be surprised on the night. Like I say, if there's one or two specifics that we want to do, we'll try and get them done as soon as possible, just so we can definitely get into them. And then after that, we'll just wander through the scare zones and to each different maze.
Yeah, it's good to know where the big queues are going to be, because last year was Strange Things. Ghostbusters was another big one as well last year, and obviously they've cancelled Halloween Horror Nights for this year.
Yeah.
Well, we've been talking so much about Halloween Horror Nights and Universal. Do you know what? I've not asked you your favourite Walt Disney World attraction.
If we had to pick one to do, one ride / attraction / show, the missus would be the Haunted Mansion.
Oh, old school classic.
Yeah, number one. And to be fair, mine would be Splash Mountain. You know, it's such a classic ride.
It depends how long it now takes them to change it over from Br'er Rabbit to Princess and the Frog, because a lot of people are saying, oh, it might actually be a couple of years before they even start doing it. So if you go in September, it might still be the old school.
That's what we're hoping for, because we'd love to get on at least one last time.
What's your planning strategy when it comes to kind of like sorting out and booking, and then I was going to say things with fast passes, but we haven't got fast passes at the minute. But in terms of when you plan your trip...
If you were going as a normal setting, you know, booking the rest of it, we're always on the 14-day ticket for the price of 7. That's the first port of call. So we'll always get that ticket. So we've got the freedom to go in and out of the parks as we wish. Obviously, this is where the missus comes into the forefront, being a veteran.
She's the planner
for the parks. So on the days available, it's 30 or 60 days before you get the fast pass opportunities, don't you, for some of the rides?
That's right, yeah.
So it's, right, what are we on that day? So she'll have the pen and paper out, fast passes in for the main attractions that we want to go on, and obviously when we're in the parks, depending on the day, obviously we'll always be keeping an eye on the ride times to know whether we can, you know, switch a fast pass out and just go on a ride with a shorter queue and open a new fast pass up.
Yeah, so hopefully those days will come back.
Yeah, so we'll kind of have we'll have a mini plan. You know, we don't want to be too structured, where, right, you've got to be at this location at this time and all the rest, you know, and take the enjoyment out of just actually taking the park in itself, or whichever park you're in. But we will have the app open with the fast passes, and we will be keeping an eye on ride times to see whether there is any that we can just jump on and get rid of the fast pass and open up a fast pass for one of the other rides that we weren't, you know, that were like fourth and fifth on the list to choose.
It is good to have a plan, because you don't want to go there and go, right.
Yeah, no, you don't just want to step in and then you get lost then, don't you? And we also follow the old guide of turning left a lot of the times, because a lot of Americans go right because they drive on the right, you know, so in the park, if you turn left and go around that way, you tend to get on...
Is that why people tend to... I knew that was the reason, but I didn't... reason because it was on the left. Apart from Animal Kingdom, where everybody turns left, because where Pandora's turn right in Animal Kingdom.
Yeah, so obviously if we turn left, and you tend to try and be able to get on the the mine trains and the mountain rides a little faster than if you were to turn right and you know, and through Fantasyland and the rest of it first. If you go round the other way and go Frontierland,
yeah,
tend to be able to get on them a little faster than what you would if you followed right. So we do try to do that.
Everybody's going to try that now next time they go. They'll think
yeah, yeah, well, don't blame me if you go in it's 60-minute queue each time and
yeah, they'll and, be after you.
And Space Mountain's 30s. It's not my
yeah,
fault.
Yeah. So September next year was slightly, what, about, well, just over a year away. Surely the world is going to be a better place by then, isn't it? Surely we'll be ready.
Well, this is the hope.
Yeah.
We're actually in the middle. We book through it. We always go through Ocean Florida. We get the Virgin flight and obviously the package with the car and the villa and the flights all in one deal. We're actually booked. Obviously, we booked it at the start of lockdown.
Right.
And we booked for September the 22nd. And then obviously 2 weeks ago, they announced as of September the 26th, 14-day tickets are no longer available. So we are now in talks with the agents to push the holiday back to September the 1st, so we still get the chance to do the
sneak in
for the price of 7 tickets.
Yeah, unless they extend that ticket thing to
yeah, but next year. With it being the 50th anniversary on the Saturday the 1st, with
oh, you'd be there, yeah.
Yeah, so obviously we're out there for that, boss. I think that's the reason why they've stopped the 14-day for the price of 7 tickets, because they're looking to obviously control capacity for
yeah.
the 50th anniversary weekend.
That's why I think a lot of the, you know, you've got to book into a park for a certain day. I think they will keep that towards the end of next year.
Yeah.
Even if the pandemic's over.
I'm hoping it's relaxed on Sundays. What we were hoping for, really, we were hoping maybe they could have just used a little more common sense with it and just were like, right, the tickets can run through, but, you know, and obviously just have an asterisk on a certain
blackout
few days.
Dates, yeah.
You either have to have a booking for this day or there's a separate ticketed event for this date, you know, especially the Saturday, Sunday on the 50th anniversary weekend, but
yeah,
your ticket
maybe
is still
will.
Valid, you know, around that. I think that would have been a little more fitting, especially for people like ourselves coming from England. I feel like it alienates us slightly, you know, for the, we don't get the opportunity to go as often as people in America, and that 14-day ticket is really a great save.
Yeah, it's a really good deal
I'm buying the ticket prices, so obviously we're a little disappointed when the announcement come through that obviously the ticket will no longer be valid from that point on, so obviously that's why we're trying to just push the holiday back 2 weeks
getting a
so
bit
we
early.
Still get to utilise the 14-day ticket.
And of Ocean Florida, I've never used them before, are they quite good?
Yeah, to be fair, they are really good. I'm not too sure how we got about using them first time round, because usually when they had the timeshare up until they got rid of that recently, obviously they used to do it separately, flights and car, because obviously they already had the accommodation sorted. And then when we were looking again to booking a trip, I think it was actually just a Google option, you know, just looking at Florida holidays through, and there was some good reviews on them, and they were really, really good, to be fair.
Yeah,
and this time around again, it was an easy phone call, you know, these are the dates we want to go, you know, plus or minus 3 or 4 days either side, you know, we want the car, we've seen that, we also, here's the number, the exact villa we've got, again, it's on the website this day, you know, what can you do for us? And the agent, yeah, give me 20 minutes, half an hour, so I'll call you back, comes back in with some good prices, your car that you want, your villa and the rest of it, so we can't complain at all.
Awesome. Well, fingers crossed, it's all great in September next year.
Yeah.
Good talking to you, and have a magical day, James.
Yeah, and you, pal, take care now.
If you would like to be a guest on an upcoming episode of this podcast, don't forget, we've got a brand new podcast every week. So brand new memories every week. We are looking for people. You don't have to have been to Walt Disney World recently. I mean, who has? But if you'd love to come on, it might have been 10 years ago, 20 years ago that you went. I'd love to hear your memories. Maybe there's certain things that you remember most. You've got a favourite attraction, favourite restaurant. Maybe there's something that's now gone at Walt Disney World. I'd still love to hear your memories. Just drop me a line. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Pod Magical is where we are. Just DM me and don't worry about the technicalities. I can sort that out for you. Every week on the podcast, I like to wrap up with Andy's top tip of the week. Well, Andy's top tip of the week this week, if you are going to Walt Disney World, wherever that will be, and you love your gum, then make sure you pack it before you even leave the country, because you cannot buy chewing gum in Walt Disney World. In fact, I don't even think you can buy chewing gum in the airport when you land. So if you're somebody who loves the gum, you've got to be chewing all the time, make sure you've packed your gum. That's my top tip of the week. If you've got any top tips, let me know. We'll share them on the podcast. We're here with a brand new episode every Friday. So don't forget to hit that subscribe button, whether it's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast from. Hit that subscribe button and Disney magic landing in your ears every Friday. And until next time, please stand clear of the doors.